This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
What is it like being poor? When children in grades 4 and 5 in North Bay were asked this question, they gave the following answers. Feeling ashamed when my dad can't get a job. Pretending that you forgot your lunch. Being teased for the way you're dressed. Hearing mom and dad fight over money. And hiding your feet so the teacher won't get cross when you don't have boots. In 1989, an all-party motion in the Canadian Parliament resolved to try to end poverty for children in Canada by the year 2000. 6 years later, one in six children are poor, and Aboriginal children face poverty at a shameful rate of one in four. Campaign 2000 has been monitoring the progress on this promise since it was made. This year, their annual report card on the commitment to end child poverty is called O Canada, Too Many Children in Poverty for Too Long. I'm joined by Laurel Rothman, who is National Coordinator of Campaign 2000. Hi, Laurel. Thanks for joining us.
Hello.
So when you look at the report that you released last week, how much has the situation changed since 1989?
Well, I think it's important to note, actually, this time we've looked back for about 25 years since 1980. And if we even, and you know, as you can imagine, there have been ups and downs in both rates of child and family poverty and rates of economic growth measured by GDP change. But the lowest point in time for child and family poverty in Canada was 1989, and we've never gone that far down yet. And that, in fact, was the lowest point in 25 years. So we're extremely concerned that this has become a structural rate of child and family poverty, about one in six children. And we know we have to make some major changes to our economic and social structures if we're going to improve things significantly.
So going into some of the detail that comes out in this report, the report paints a really dismal picture of the conditions for Aboriginal children. What are some of the most important findings there?
Well, I think one thing that's always important to clarify for people is that we have conditions in First Nations communities, which are, you know, sometimes called on reserve, but that's not really the choice these days of First Nations communities. And in that situation, one in every four children lives in a First Nations community, and that's quite frightening. But even beyond that, one out of every eight First Nations children is disabled, and that is twice the rate among all other children in Canada. And more than 4 in 10 First Nations children need basic dental maintenance. And the issue of overcrowding, which of course is related to inadequate housing, is double the Canadian rate. The prevalence of mold in about half of First Nations households poses a tremendous public health challenge. And nearly 100 First Nations communities still must boil their water. So I would suggest that many of the environmental conditions causing poverty in First Nations are of a different sort of level than in other parts of our country.
And outside of Aboriginal communities, what other groups of children are most vulnerable?
Well, I think it is also important that urban Aboriginal identity children who live off-reserve, who live in cities or surrounding cities, also face tremendous challenges to be included in terms of social inclusion. About half of Aboriginal children under the age of urban Aboriginal children under the age of 15 live with a lone parent, and about 40% of off-reserve Aboriginal children live in poverty. So those are tremendously high risks, just as one in two of every low-income child lives in a lone parent family, which obviously means that family is in most often insecure economic situations. But children with a disability, those from visible minority backgrounds, immigrant children, all are at higher risk of poverty. And I think one striking other figure is that one out of two children in recent immigrant families, that is the past 5 years from between the two censuses, the 1996 and 2001 census, one out of two children in a family emigrating then lives in poverty. And that is quite distressing.
So what
particularly when you think that when one recognizes that most economic projections state that Canada is going to rely on immigration to basically replace all of its labor force after 2011 or 12 when baby boomers start to retire.
So what do you think are the factors behind this really alarming level of child poverty in immigrant communities?
Well, in immigrant communities, there are a number of dynamics. One thing we know is that about, on the one hand, overall levels of education and work experience of immigrants are quite high, and about 33% come with formal post-secondary education and or professional training that is often not recognized. So people like accountants, doctors, pharmacists, nurses, teachers come and spend long periods of time seeking to get their credentials assessed, and they're sometimes not accepted. And then they may have to then spend additional time getting work experience or Canadian workplace experience and in order to get employment. And sometimes they're not able to get it in their own field, so they have to get it in other fields. So that, of course, leaves families not only in tremendous tumult, but often in economic jeopardy. We then have the sort of other two-thirds of newcomer families who are not as, what would be the word, perhaps not as well-trained or educated, and are facing the barriers of seeking further training and education to fit into our labor force, which, of course, has moved to have fewer, or not to create as many new full-time good jobs as there are part-time, short-term, or contract jobs. So it's a very difficult transition.
Yeah, and tell me more about that, because more and more we hear the mantra from governments that the path out of poverty is to get people into the workplace and to get jobs. Does your report indicate that having a job actually does typically lift families and children out of poverty?
Very good question, and indeed we're also quite concerned that employment is not an automatic, a guaranteed pathway out of poverty anymore. I think we know that about one out of three low-income children live in a family where at least one parent works full-time throughout the year, but the family's still in poverty. And so that's a problem. Obviously, that's often because of low wages. You know, nowhere do we have a full-time minimum wage that meets the poverty line in any of our provinces. Similarly, and in fact, I should say that the number of low-income children in families where parents are working full-time has gone up from 27% to about 34% in the last decade or so. So despite strong economic growth and job creation, the labor market is not going to be our main or only source of ending child and family poverty. We know that we do have to look at higher wages. We have to look at higher child benefits, which will help balance off the cost of supporting a family in addition to a wage. But we also have to look at our public programs that must support people adequately when they're not able to be in the labor force, sometimes for a short time, sometimes for a medium term.
And yesterday in the news, there were reports that BC's surplus has doubled and that the economy is being described as being in a period of robust growth. But when we look at your report, the highest child poverty rates are actually occurring in BC, which I think the statistic is 23%. How do we explain that dichotomy between this supposed robust growth and very high rates of child poverty here in this province?
It's a good point, and I think that certainly our partner organizations in British Columbia who we reviewed this with are also quite disturbed. What we know is that many families in BC and other places are unable to get jobs with sufficient pay, hours of work or benefits that they can lift themselves out of poverty. So indeed, we may have many of those people who are working part-time or part of the year and are doing their best to achieve economic independence, and the opportunities aren't there.
The other thing that I think is interesting is how in the report it talks about how Quebec is the only province where poverty for children is declining. Why is that province able to make progress where other provinces are not?
Our understanding is that in Quebec they've made some important decisions, first of all, in terms of supporting families, and certainly that included consolidating a number of the benefits that existed previously to create a more enhanced child benefit for all children in 2004. And in the earlier years leading up to that, their progressive family policy, which includes affordable early learning and child care services, as well as more flexible and broader parental leave, all of those things together have, first of all, been in place for a longer time in Quebec than most other places, provinces. We know that the labor force participation rate of women in Quebec has gone way up, as partly as a result of, we believe, as a result of the availability of accessible, affordable child care. So those factors working together have made an impact.
And the report outlines the requirements for a serious poverty reduction policy for all of Canada. What do you think is standing in the way of real progress nationally?
Well, I think right now we don't have national leadership, to say the least. And I think that's a major problem. There's no question that we need leaders who want to take this issue seriously, address attention to it, commit resources, come up with a plan with targets and timetables the way the United Kingdom has, and Ireland to some extent. And here in Canada, we have the provinces of Quebec and Newfoundland and Labrador that have each developed provincial poverty reduction strategies. So, you know, we need a prime minister and a minister of social development or whatever the title might be who sees this as a priority and sees the complexity of it and is willing to tackle this tough issue.
Well, thank you, Laurel, for taking the time to talk with us this morning.
Thank you.
I've been speaking with Laurel Rothman of Campaign 2000 about their report, O Canada, Too Many Children in Poverty for Too Long. You can find a direct link to that report on our website, which is cooperadio.org/redeye. And you are listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.